So I had some existing kind of presence on LinkedIn. But the whole thing that I think people miss oftentimes is they try to take one or two personalities on a team, and that is their entire LinkedIn presence. And especially as you become a large organization, it's not super sustainable. People naturally leave, things change up. So my main goal was to say, how do we build a system as an organization where we activate many different stakeholders? And therefore, if a couple people leave, we continue to have that motion and that impact.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass.
I'm thrilled to be joined by Casey Hill, Senior Growth Manager at ActiveCampaign, to discuss everything he's working on. Casey jumped on kind of pre-recording, and I loved his perspective. He said he wanted to talk about what he's working on so that it can be tactical. I am excited to dig in. So Casey, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for taking time bright and early in your morning, but thanks for joining the Content Cocktail Hour.
I'm excited to be here. Anytime I can talk about growth and content, I'm up for it.
And we are all honored to be listening to you. Folks, Casey teaches content marketing at Stanford. Pretty awesome background. Casey, I'd love in your own words, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your journey to your current role.
So I've kind of spent most of my career in the software as a service, the SaaS industry, about 10 plus years. I've worked in MarTech primarily, so a lot of companies in the marketing automation space, and kind of cut my chops initially in the sales world. So I was doing sales and leading sales teams initially, and then made that transition over into marketing. Funny enough, one of the inflection points was I was working as an AE, and our team was trying to crack Quora, and they were struggling. Our marketing team at a past company was trying to crack Quora, and they said, hey, would you be open to sharing your stories? 3 months later, I crossed over 1 million views on Quora, and they were like, oh, this is crazy. We got to bring you into the hood. And so I started naturally doing more marketing stuff. I love the storytelling of it. I love that ability to kind of craft a narrative. And so then eventually, when I had the opportunity to head up a marketing department at a startup, I kind of took that and made that transition at that point into the marketing world. And that's kind of where I've focused and been now for the last 6-7 years.
I love that. We talked to so many marketing leaders now on this podcast who they didn't start in marketing. And I think that's such a interesting pattern that we see from really great marketers. Well, Casey, we'll dig into a little bit more of what you're currently working on, but it is the Content Cocktail Hour. We always like asking all of our guests, and it's, like I mentioned, 8 a.m. your time. So maybe an unfair question this early in the morning, but what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
Coffee is my go-to. I got a Breville machine recently about 8 months ago, and so now I'm making my own. And it's pretty funny. I went to a coffee shop and I got a coffee for the first time in a long time because I usually just make my own. And I was actually like disappointed. I was like, man, the coffees I'm making at home are now so much better than these. So I guess that's a good thing that I've been mastering the craft. But yeah, that's my go-to.
I love that. SoCal, I feel like, has a bit of a coffee scene. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's good coffee shops, I'm sure. I think there's just something about when you make it yourself and you have kind of full control over all the pieces, you can kind of master it a little bit. But yeah, there's a lot of coffee spots down here.
Speaking of making it yourself, let's jump into the conversation. You have been at ActiveCampaign almost a year now. And I know one of the items you mentioned you've been working on and we've been seeing is channel exploration. And you and I talked briefly about LinkedIn being one of those. And you said something that was so interesting to me. I think LinkedIn right now, you know, the trend in the B2B space is activate your team. People buy from people instead of brands. Make sure you have an influencer strategy. Make sure your sales team is active, which I think all of that's valid and true. I think that can be done well and not well. But you mentioned actually several other pieces of your LinkedIn strategy, and I'd love to hear from you kind of how you and ActiveCampaign are thinking about a more holistic LinkedIn approach.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll kind of walk you through maybe a little bit of kind of what we've done and then maybe some of my large takeaways from this motion. So when I first came in, one of the things that was super important is I wanted to build a system. I didn't want it to have a single point of failure, meaning I came in, I was getting, say, 100,000 views per week. So I had some existing kind of presence on LinkedIn, but the whole thing that I think people miss oftentimes is they try to take one or two personalities on a team, and that is their entire LinkedIn presence. And especially as you become a large organization, it's not super sustainable. People naturally leave, things change up. So my main goal was to say, how do we build a system as an organization where we activate many different stakeholders? And therefore, if a couple people leave, we continue to have that motion and that impact. So that was kind of one part of it. So we created a Slack channel called Operation LinkedIn, and we invited in, we got about 30 folks into that channel across the organization in marketing and sales and customer success, and brought all of those folks in. And the first thing was to have it be very open-ended about the type of content that people could produce. I don't agree with the philosophy of people that kind of bring the team in and they're like, hey, go repost this stuff that we've kind of curated. I just don't think that allows for the personality to emerge. I don't think that's a recipe for success. But at the same time, I also am a very quantitative focused person. So I also don't think like just have everyone post about whatever topics under the sun they think about and we'll just kind of see where the chips fall. Instead, what I like to do is I like to say, everyone can post about whatever they want. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to try to make, we have a milestone called the 10K Club. 10K Club means you're getting at least 10,000 impressions per week. And what we would do is we would allow people to start posting and we would see what was actually resonating and what was driving momentum, right? So that was one part of it. So we start to isolate, okay, these are the people and this is the type of content that seems to be resonating. But then we also looked at another piece, which is intent signals, meaning that how many conversations were actually generated where someone reached out about the product? How many new followers came in with a connection request that was connected to the product? What is the actual intent signal? So we paired up both of those things. What type of content is actually getting reach? And what type of content is actually driving relevant intent to your product? And then we had a data-driven approach every week to say, this is the type of content that seems to be resonating. And we could provide those kind of gentle nudges without just walking in and telling people, you need to talk about XYZ. Instead, we would have it be this data-driven approach. And I think that encouraged people a lot more to be seeing what was working. They could continue to adapt their style while keeping their voice. Again, we're not saying talk about this specific article. We're just saying, hey, this is what the data is kind of showing is most resonant. And I found that that was really successful. Number one, from this idea of kind of visibility as an organization, it was cool to be like, hey, I started at 400 views a week, basically no presence. And in 3 weeks, I was able to get to 10K. There's a myth that people have where they're like, oh, I'm not on LinkedIn. I don't have a big presence. Like that seems unattainable. And then when you start taking those people and time after time after time, you get them hitting 10,000 a week, it gets people excited. It gets people mobilized to go do more. So I think that was one piece of our blueprint that was really important. The second piece is we ran what was called a voice of the customer campaign. So what I wanted to do was to have our team build what I call kind of topical expertise. And I can get into something I call 5 degrees of content, which I think is a really good framework of how to think about social content in a moment. But broadly speaking, I want our team to be associated as experts in organic growth, in email, in marketing automation, in the topical clusters that tie back to our product. But then there's another side of this, which is customers who are using our product. I would love for them to share their stories. What features are they using? What are they excited about? So we actually started a campaign where we reached out, and initially we reached out to our highest NPS. NPS basically being people who have expressed that they would advocate for the product. We started there and we said, we would just love for you to share your story. We don't want all the content to be coming from us out there. And we started with basically just kind of like an open ask. And we refined this campaign many times. That first time we did it, we got about 20 people to raise their hand. And it was awesome. They hopped onto LinkedIn, they did posts. We would then get our team to kind of activate and comment and help amplify just from social side. And that was an awesome initial test. And then we realized, okay, this was good, but it was a little bit too open-ended. So we ran another campaign where we added a little bit more specificity in two ways. Number one, when they should post. Hey, let's try to get as many posts in this specific area. And also we narrowed the lens a little bit. We'd run many different tests. We might say, why did you come to ActiveCampaign? What was the major reason? Was it because of some features? Was it because of cost? Was it like, tell us about why you came and can you share that story? And then there's actually a third piece is we started to work on what's a better give that we could give for these folks. We're not gonna pay people because that doesn't feel right. But as a team, an ActiveCampaign, 1,000 employee company, we have a lot of personnel. So what we could do is hop on your channel and engage in your content. If you're going to post about us, we're going to return the favor. We're going to go subscribe to your YouTube channel. We're going to go listen to your podcast. We're going to go have people on our team share about stuff that you're doing, right? So we started to build that reciprocity muscle. And that was the start of creating kind of this ongoing advocates relationship. Instead of just a one-off, it's like the small business says, this is great. I would love to be plugged into this ecosystem. And it's a win-win for us. We have people that are talking about our product but we want to support our customers. That's the kind of relationship we want to have with people in our community. So us going out and sharing about stuff that they're doing, that's great. We're happy to do that. And we have the team and the bandwidth to pull something like that off. So we went through a lot of iterations of that campaign and a lot of refinements. But ultimately, what that culminated in was hundreds of people coming to LinkedIn and sharing their stories. And I don't want to say a salesy, but a more directly, like they're talking about active campaign. Whereas most of our employee content is not platform specific. It's more of that like third degree content. And so that was our second pillar. So we have this voice of the customer. They're talking more directly about their experiences. We're building topical authority. And then with paid, we started to employ kind of thought leadership ads. Essentially on LinkedIn, you have the ability to promote a post that's actual real content that can be valuable for folks. And I loved that concept. I hadn't played with that before I came to ActiveCampaign, but what if ads could actually help people? Ads tend to be such a push, right? You just like see an ad and it goes and tells you to like, go do a thing, go buy our marketing automation. And to me, that's just so stale. But what if you could have a really compelling piece of content that actually educates and is inherently valuable? That to me is pretty exciting. And it's great that you have the ability to promote both internal and external. And it's actually really cool that in the past, there was the restriction that someone had to be an employee for you to be able to promote their post. That has been removed. In LinkedIn, you can now promote anyone's post. So it's really, really easy for you essentially to pull people in. Any text or single video ad, you can promote. As a note, you can't promote carousels or multi-image or multi-video style of ads, but I'm very bullish on that motion. And we've even started to do a bunch of experimentation where we'll set up things like 50-50 promotions with certain companies where we'll be like, hey, we'll put 500 behind this if you put 500 behind this, and all these different trade-offs depending on the nature of the content. And so really that three-pronged attack to LinkedIn has provided massive amplification on the impact that that channel draws. And we use a tool called Hockey Stack to help with attribution. And Hockey Stack can actually, using multi-mix marketing modeling, they actually can look at the impact from organic channels. So it's been really cool to see the growth of that channel, LinkedIn impacting hundreds of thousands of dollars of revenue. But we can actually get as granular as looking at Casey, like my specific LinkedIn is impacting $30,000 a month in ARR, which is pretty cool to be able to have that really direct understanding of each of these different footprints. So at a very high level, that's essentially what we did with LinkedIn.
That's awesome. There's so much good in there, and I appreciate how tactical and just transparent that was. I think the reciprocity is so important and so much more than just like, hey, like our post, we'll like your post. But the fact that you're sharing ad dollars, you're engaging with their content, I think that is so powerful. And that's really, it kind of reminds me of a people first go to market, which is something I just talked to the tech go to market team about. I think you're exactly right. Like some of these old school, like the ads are like, hey, go buy our marketing automation. Like people are just like on to those types of tactics, right? Like we see right through them. But I think if you can educate or entertain somebody with an ad, like it sounds like you're doing, that's what people are drawn to. And that's what's going to be that pattern interrupt that you need in a place that is so noisy, especially like LinkedIn.
100%.
So I know that's not the only channel you're exploring. You mentioned Reddit as well to me. So I'm going to, because this is something I've thought a lot about, but I haven't acted on. And I think there are a lot of other marketers maybe in that boat as well, knowing there's something there, but they're not quite sure what. How have you gone after the Reddit space?
Yeah. So one thing I'll say as we kind of transition into Reddit, just to provide some framing for the social strategy in general, because I think it's really important for how you think about what type of content to produce. So just a framework for folks. So 5 degrees of content. The first degree of content I think of as directly product focused. If I was to say, how does ActiveCampaign compare to HubSpot? And I was to post that somewhere, I think of that as first degree content. You're taking incredibly high intent, right? And you're just trying to convert those folks. You go one step below, I might do a post around marketing automation specifically. Like, why is predictive sending valuable for marketing automation tools? It's still pretty bottom of the funnel, right? It's still pretty dang specific. Then you have third degree content where I might talk about email marketing. Now it's getting a little bit more broad. Oftentimes on social channels, third degree is what's most correlated with kind of that thought leadership or trust building type of content, where you have a fairly wide net, but there's still that topical hook that's tying directly into your product. One step up, we go to fourth degree content. Now, fourth degree content is you're talking about something that isn't really directly tied to your product at all, but it's business related. So if I say talk about pricing, hey, here's a lesson I learned from optimizing our pricing page. That doesn't actually have anything to do with ActiveCampaign, but it's something that is business related and it's a very wide net. And so again, it's this ability to potentially draw in followers and kind of build that background. And then fifth degree content is where if I was like post about, I just went abroad and did remote work for a month in XYZ place and here was my experience. And the reason I mention that as we talk about LinkedIn or about to talk about Reddit is I think that it's really important for folks to think about the current situation that they're in and what things they're trying to impact. So if you have a large following, you have an existing large following on whatever social channel, and you're like, I want to monetize that better. I want to drive more business from that existing, then have more of that lower first and second degree content. You have the folks, you have the following, you want to find ways to capitalize on that. But if you're in a different situation, you don't have a big following. You need to go out there and build that trust, your startup, your newer entrant. You need to layer in way more third and fourth degree content because you need to spend that time building content that's going to get you followers, that's going to get you engagement, that's going to build, hey, people associate you with this specific category thing. So I think that is also something that as people are thinking about what type of content might make sense, I think that's a really good place to start. And it also helps answer that question. Sometimes people will be like, well, I don't know if I want my employees posting about something that's not directly product related. Shouldn't it have that hook? And my question would be, well, are they trying to build an audience? Are they trying to build a following with your right ICP? As long as the content is relevant to that right ICP and they're building followers at a faster rate, that's still super important. So I just want to kind of set that stage a little bit because I do think that's an important framework.
It is interesting just on that topic. I really appreciate that framework. We have customers all the time who are like, you know, maybe they're an email marketing provider, but they're exactly what you're saying. They're writing content about how to execute an event trade show booth or something like that because they just did it and they want to share. And we think that's great content. I always say share what you know, share your experience. But I love that kind of framework of the layers versus I think sometimes we try to pigeonhole that stuff into top of funnel, bottom of funnel. And I think sometimes that's unrealistic, but I love that layering. So thanks for sharing that and just kind of further validation that that feels very real.
Yeah, for sure. But Reddit, let's talk about Reddit specifically. So a couple of ways that I think about and use Reddit. So the first is I'm a big fan of taking valuable content and leveraging it in different places. So Reddit has a really nice synergy with LinkedIn and that they're both fairly long form. Obviously, Reddit is even longer form than 3,000 characters or whatever LinkedIn is. But I would often take my best LinkedIn content and then use it in specific subreddits as relevant. And almost directly oftentimes. And Reddit, I run what I call like the Reddit test, the Reddit litmus test. And so if I am worried that content might be too promotional, I'll post it in Reddit and make sure that it can get 10 upvotes. That's a test for me to validate whether this is content that is genuinely non-promotional and is just helpful thought leadership style of content, which I think is important. And I encourage teams and other folks to go through that same thing. Because Reddit is intimidating. People hop in there and they're like, man, they'll tear you down. They'll do whatever. And what I say is, but that's a great opportunity. And I'm not saying there's not like toxic people on certain platforms. There's toxic people on Reddit, just like there are in many places. But the idea that you need to have your content be non-promotional and genuinely valuable enough to get to 10 upvotes is a really good exercise for folks to go through as they're trying to build that muscle. So that's the first thing is taking good content, having it live in multiple places and having a post that might get 15,000 on LinkedIn. Now you get 25,000 because you also put it into three different subreddits. So that's, I think, the first kind of part of the equation. The second thing with Reddit is that search is changing. You have the hidden gems update. You've had all these different shifts. And now you have a dedicated section called discussions and forums that lives on Google that is elevating Reddit and Quora content. So there's actually this ability now with Reddit for you to go search your keywords, find out what is that top ranking content, engage with those threads, and potentially start to capture some of that actual search traffic. So now you're actually able to benefit from Reddit in that capacity as well. So you're repurposing, you're potentially using it in a way to kind of capture some search traffic. And then I think Reddit also is an incredible research slash idea engine, meaning that you can go to a subreddit, like let's say / email marketing in my case. And I can go toggle it on to say, what are the hot threads? what are people talking about? What are people really interested in? And I can go to B2B marketing and /SaaS and /email, all the things that are relevant to where I kind of operate. And I can see what are the most important topics. That can help inform what type of content I might want to produce to speak to a specific target audience. It can inform what type of subjects maybe do I want to include in my newsletter? What do I want to highlight? And I can have that based on an actual signal that I'm seeing. Hey, this post got 400 upvotes. There clearly is an interest around this problem or around this concept, right? So I think that Reddit also serves that function of being valuable to kind of unearth and give you some sense there. And so overall, when I think about content, I'm just pretty bullish about third-party communities. I think third-party perspective in an age of AI, as we see a lot of programmatic SEO becoming fairly saturated, what is going to become elevated? It's personal perspectives, personal anecdotes, actual experiences. And the content that incorporates those is going to rank better on Google. And the stuff that is doing that on outside platforms, third party, or even things like TikTok, and when Google launched Google Perspectives, you suddenly saw a lot of those getting pulled into search results for the first time as well. I think people are smart to keep their feelers out for those different areas and have a content strategy that is considering those as they go forward.
Yeah, I love that kind of capability that TikTok or Reddit, as you just mentioned, have, where it's like it can kind of serve as a testing ground. You know, if it doesn't go well, it doesn't go well. And there's not a ton of negative consequences there. But if it goes well, it can really help you by showing up in search results now, showing up in other communities now. I think that's like a very nice balance of both able to experiment, but if it goes well, it can have a real impact on the business. So I think I've got some exploration to go do in Reddit now, I think myself.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you made a good point, though, too, is that it's anonymous on Reddit. So that's a big capital difference between LinkedIn. And when you talk about activating your team, some teams are uncomfortable. Like on LinkedIn, for example, they just don't want to post certain types of content on their personal LinkedIn. And, you know, that's just kind of how it functions. You can't force someone to like go post on their Facebook or their LinkedIn. But I think that if you're able to have someone create an anonymous account on a platform like Reddit, you often can get more buy-in by doing that, right? So you can bring them in, and then that I think can be a little bit more structured.
Maybe the last current project I'll ask you about, not to just go back through everything you're working on right now, but I know you've recently launched a new podcast. I think podcasts are a bit of a lightning rod in the B2B space. I think some people say they're an absolute must for any content strategy. I think other people will tell you there's already too many B2B podcasts. Tell us about Angles and Insight and your unique perspective on podcasting at ActiveCampaign.
Yeah, for sure. So I think the first thing I'll say about podcasts is that one of the reasons that I really like podcasts is because you have the ability now to take a 40-minute conversation, and then you can go grab something like an Opus clip and you can chop up 20 highlight reels and you get an incredible amount of content. So the first thing I think is for folks to not think about a podcast just as like, I'm going to record this thing, I'm going to publish the audio, I'm going to publish the full video. You have this ability to riff off of so many different sub-threads of a conversation that you now are getting more distribution points. I think that's a super important piece. The other thing about podcasts is I think building podcasts with a distribution-minded mindset, and I kind of recommend this across all owned assets. So this is what I try to do with newsletters and other channels as well. But there's this idea that you're interacting with other experts in these different areas who potentially have the ability to amplify that content. So if you do a podcast and then you do a little bit of the legwork to get some nice clips together, to get some collateral, you make it easy to get additional amplification that then can still tie back to your asset, the podcast, as they kind of share and distribute it out. So when I was thinking about what I wanted to do, I've launched a couple podcasts before, but I wanted to do something kind of materially different. So I decided I was going to try to do a debate show. And that has always been a little bit scary because, you know, you're bringing people in, they're going to have opposing ideas, you don't want it to be hostile. But essentially, one of the challenges, I've done a lot of podcast guesting and run my own podcast. I've been on over 200 different podcast shows before. And one of the things that can become kind of challenging is that when you meet people for the first time, it's hard to kind of have a lot of like pushback, because I don't know if the rapport is there yet. And so you want to build a relationship. An important part of podcasting is build a relationship. But people are sometimes like, it's tougher to call someone out and be like, no, I don't think that's true. But then the challenge with that can be that I think it is really valuable for people to see this well-rounded perspective. So that was the kind of impetus behind me creating a debate show. So we went out, we got two, in my opinion, incredible guests, Wade Foster, who's the founder of Zapier, and Jason Lemkin, who sold his last company for $400 million and now runs a big SaaS event company. And they basically went into a bunch of fairly high level, top of funnel topics. So they were talking about like, what are the marketing channels that are working best? Remote work, does it help productivity or does it hurt productivity? Or is it kind of a must have? And it was really cool to see that they had different lived experiences. So they kind of broke down and they went, hey, I think that, you know, Lemkin's essentially saying, I think that it's a huge problem because people are working a bunch of jobs now simultaneously. And that's problematic for productivity, obviously. And Wade's kind of coming in there and saying, look, if you know what good is, if you have the right benchmarks, then let people do whatever the heck they want to do, right? That's their life. You just have to know as a manager what the right milestones are. But to see that diverse perspective from multiple leaders in the space, I thought was really cool. And then when we launched it, we did a whole bunch of different things to try to kind of amplify and make that as successful as possible, ultimately ranking top 3% within the first 2 weeks, which I thought was pretty dang cool. And so what we did is we did an email blast out to our existing list and then retargeted folks based on how they responded to that first email list. We worked actively with the partners. So we'd work with Zapier, we'd work with Saster to create content to promote it. Here's a kind of a tricky one though, that was a really cool extra one we did. One of the questions I asked is I said, what is your favorite AI tool, right? And Lemkin said Opus Clip, which is a video tool. And Wade said Intercom was his best AI first company. So then I went to Intercom and then I went to Opus Clip and I said, hey, we talk about you on the pod. And they said, that's awesome. Can we toss a few ad dollars to promote with you? I said, absolutely. I would love that. So now you're not only getting the two companies, but I asked a targeted question built for distribution in mind that's now uncovering another two parties. So now we have four different people that are promoting the podcast. And on top of that, we just started getting creative with, we'd have banner pop-ups on our website. We changed our email signatures to plug out. We actually changed our Zoom waiting screen. So when someone's waiting to get into a Zoom meeting, it was a plug that could push out and go to the podcast. And the final thing that we did is we created a doc that we shared with the entire team. There was three very specific behaviors we asked people to do. We said, can you listen to the podcast? Can you share it with at least one other person who's not part of the organization? And can you go to Apple Podcasts and can you leave us a review? And when you do those things, I want you to put your name next to the three checkboxes and then also put your department. And that got way better activation than any way we've done it in the past. Because in the past, we've always just posted, hey, everyone on the team, we did this thing. And then it's kind of like haphazard. But when we did it this way, people were able to see, oh man, sales is really activating. Marketing, we got to catch up. And customer success, we got to hop in. So you get kind of the department against department rivalry. And then there's the visibility of people putting their name in. So showing like, I did a thing. That structured approach, I think, really helped us to drive those thousands of views on that first episode. So a couple different tactics that I think came together well to make that a success.
That's so good. I think there's some inherent like virality too, and just like debate, and especially like healthy debate. And I think even on topics where obviously there's no like right or wrong, I think getting both sides is so valuable to listeners and can cause some of that virality. And then I love the like internal, it's not even accountability, but that competition. I think we're all competitive, especially sales and marketing folks. And that's really smart, really savvy. I think I've got some updating to do of our own podcast process here. So appreciate the inspiration there. All right, I'll stop grilling you about your projects, but I will grill you in another way. The last question we always like to ask our podcast guests here is, what is one unpopular opinion you have as it pertains to B2B marketing or content?
I think that people often ask the wrong questions when it comes to content. I've been doing a lot of consulting through the years, and a lot of times I see people kind of coming in and they say, our content needs to be more product focused. Our content needs to be less product focused. And there's kind of this like debate that's going on the wrong layer. I think instead what companies need to be doing is they need to say, what is our goal? If our goal is to get a bunch of reach, right? We want to bring in a bunch of eyes. We're trying to build awareness. We're trying to build pipeline. Then you're going to build a very specific type of topical authority content. You're not going to do that with direct branded content. You're not going to go viral on YouTube Shorts. You're not going to get a bunch of discoverability, you know, on a discoverability platform with a bunch of product-oriented content. That is never going to work. right? So that goal of I need to drive more pipeline or awareness needs to be tied to topical authority content, non-product oriented content. But on the flip side, if you say, look, we have a lot of intent coming in and we're not capturing it the right way. We need a hub that we can kind of direct people with. Our sales team needs enablement material that they can be leveraging. Okay, phenomenal. Then in that case, go to your YouTube and build those deep product focused walkthroughs, build those comparison videos. That's exactly where you should be focused. But it's not this binary of product versus non-product that I think a lot of teams get into. Instead, it's about pairing what is your objective to what type of thing are you building. And I think that permeates a lot of things we talked about today too. We talked about five layers of content and like, how should you think about what type of content is valuable? It's like, well, what's your focus? Are you trying to build followers? Are you trying to increase reach? Or are you trying to drive conversions? And that should look materially different. So I think that's one area that people kind of get mixed up.
We see all the time that really, really good content marketers have a journalism background. And I always think that's part of that theme and pattern is journalists ask really, really good questions that I think are more about getting to the root of the issue than the kind of binary, yeah, what kind of content, what format should this be or what should the topic be? I think they let the questions kind of lead the way. So I think that should be a more popular opinion than it currently is.
For sure.
I appreciate you taking the time. If people want to learn more from you or about ActiveCampaign, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so two ways. You can follow me on LinkedIn. That's where I post a lot of my content. If you're trying to learn more about kind of organic growth, owned assets, that kind of domain, feel free, Casey Hill. If people want to send me an email directly about ActiveCampaign, the marketing automation platform, my email is chill, C-H-I-L-L. I'm chill at wherever I work because my name is Casey Hill. So it's chill at activecampaign.com and people feel free to drop me a line.
Well, Casey, thank you so much for joining the Content Cocktail Hour. We'll have your LinkedIn profile and ActiveCampaign links in the show notes. Audience, watchers, listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time, same place. Cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same place. Cheers.